You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
Welcome to Midlife Side Quest Game of the Year Edition, an entire week of episodes discussing the best games of 2022. Each day we'll be counting down my top five games of the year, as well as giving out some other honors and accolades for the video games that kept us all so entertained. If you haven't yet subscribed to the show, please take a moment to do so, and I would also love to hear your feedback, which you can do by leaving a review wherever you're listening to today's episode. Also, if you'd like to chat, you can find me on Twitter or Hive at MidlifeSQ. Looking at most Game of the Year lists being published this time of year, you'll most likely see slight variations on the same thing. Elden Ring and God of War Ragnarok, followed by an assortment of other great games and an indie or two thrown in for good measure. Nothing against those two titles. I've played them and enjoyed them both. But there are so many types of gamers out there with unique tastes that I like to look for the more off-the-beaten-path lists. One look at the first game that I celebrated yesterday, Disney's Dreamlight Valley, and you'll know that I don't always stick to the same old games found on most other lists. It's not that I don't play and enjoy those games, but I have a varied taste in games that I enjoy, and while others might think it's blasphemous, I think it's perfectly normal to say that I enjoyed that Disney Life Sim more than I enjoyed From Software's latest masterpiece. So I hope you enjoy my list this year, even if you don't necessarily agree with every pick on it. After all, there are more than enough accolades to go around. On each episode this week, we're going to start off by passing out a pair of awards to recognize games that didn't quite make it to the top five list, but were fantastic nonetheless. Today, we're starting out with the award for Best Gaming Addiction. And this award goes to House Flipper from developer Frozen District. This game, it bends my rules a little bit because it's not a new release, but it is new on Xbox Game Pass, which means myself and a lot of others are getting to play it for the first time. And the game has been an absolute time suck. I have put over 200 hours into living out my HGTV fantasies this year, which for some of you weirdos is just like a long weekend of gaming, but for me that is a huge amount of time on a single game. And don't tell her that I told you, but I think my wife has probably put in almost double that. Next, we've got the award for the most radical game of the year, and the runaway winner of this category is TMNT Shredder's Revenge, the retro-style arcade beat-em-up. If you are a Gen Xer like me, you grew up at the arcades dumping quarters into games like X-Men, The Simpsons, and Ninja Turtles. This will be a blast from the past that will scratch that 80s itch. It features couch co-op for up to four players, meaning that my entire family got to get in on the action and pound the Foot Clan while scarfing down some gnarly pizza. Whew. Old farts like me love a good nostalgia trip, and Shredder's Revenge absolutely delivered. That brings us to number four on my list of the best games of 2022. And this game was one that came kind of out of nowhere and has just dominated every little bit of free time that I've had throughout the day. Waiting for dinner to cook, play a game. Sitting in the car while my kids at dance practice, play a game. Sitting on the couch while my wife watches Sister Wives, play a game. And of course, that game is Marvel Snap. This is the kind of game that feels like it was genetically engineered in a lab to get the most optimized results out of everything that it does. It is quick to learn, but has a good amount of depth to it. It's fast to play, with most matches taking less than 5 minutes and readily available on your phone at all times. The visual style is appealing, with great effects and sounds, and with the rotating seasons, variant cards to collect and upgrade, and a set of locations that rotates between each match, every single game feels unique and entertaining. It's almost perfect at what it's trying to accomplish. Building decks to take advantage of various abilities or just to make one out of your favorite characters is incredibly satisfying. And when you unlock a new card with a character you like or get a variant with some cool art, it is such a good feeling. And it harkens back to the 90s when I'd have my three-ring binder full of Marvel trading cards. It's a perfect balance of tight gameplay, charming nostalgia, and a convenience of play that makes it one of the best games of the year. Now, I do have to call out some of the gross microtransactions you'll find. Charging $50 or more for variant cards and some of the currency is preposterous. But it's 100% avoidable, and it doesn't give those who do pay an edge during the match. It's just different card art. So it is an ugly blemish on the game, but it doesn't really detract from what is otherwise a fantastic game and my number four game of 2022. Featured more than just great games. So each episode this week, I am going to tell you about one of my favorite things of the year that is not a video game. Actually, I'm going to tell you about two of them. Starting with the movie Prey, which was critically acclaimed, but still seemed to fly a little bit under the radar due to not getting a theatrical release and launching directly on Hulu. It might not be setting the bar terribly high to say that this film is one of the best Predator films ever made, but believe me when I say that not only is Prey just about on par with the 1987 original, but it's one of the best action movies I've seen of the last couple of years. Set in 1719, the story follows Naru, who must protect her tribe from the alien who is using the Great Plains as its hunting ground, featuring great action, a style that pays tribute to the original, and a star-making turn from Amber Midthunder. It is a must-watch for action fans. Then there's the show that never failed to make me hungry and also played kind of a big part in helping decide our next family vacation, Stanley Tucci Searching for Italy, which recently wrapped up its second season on CNN, is a gorgeous tour of each of the regions of Italy as the actor meets the people and the food that makes each area unique. Tucci manages to be both suave and earnest as he gushes over each amazing dish. It's beautifully shot. It was a love letter to Italian food. And although CNN has decided not to renew the series, Tucci says that he's going to shop it around to other homes. He wants to do a season three. Honestly, I would watch 10 seasons of him yelling, "Oh my God," over a bowl of pasta fagioli. Fellow food fanatics should check this one out right now on Discovery Plus. Thank you so very much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I hope you tune in tomorrow for more Game of the Year shenanigans. And then you can catch new episodes every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave a review. And you can follow the show on Twitter or Hive, where we go by MidlifeSQ. Until next time, be well and keep playing.